team back up by a field goal. This one will be taken out a yard in. Price gets away from one, across the 20, finds a crease to Dorian Price. He has done this before. Price extends away. Touchdown Notre Dame. Jadorian to Jahouse.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. From the student section behind the goal line on Saturdays to the buzzer beaters of the madness in March, welcome to episode number 5 of Bowl Games and Brackets. I am Joe, and I am joined by my compadre Darren. And we are here to take you through the world of college football and basketball. From the rivalries and underdogs to the legendary performances, we will be your guide. From your dorm room to the tailgate, we have you covered each and every week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And Darren, welcome to episode number 5.
I'm pumped up, Joe. We're ready to go.
Here we go.
Ready to go with a new season. We got, you know, listen, we've done all the major conferences. Today we cover the conferences that nobody knows about as much, and Notre Dame. But got some pretty good teams in here, and we're going to explain why as we go through this.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting because, you know, these aren't the Power Four, except Notre Dame that we're going to talk about, and they'll be considered for the playoff. But then these remainder schools are going to have a shot at least one, possibly two at-large berths into the tournament. So it should be pretty good. And there are a couple of teams that definitely are going to have a legitimate chance, and they're going to have an opportunity throughout the year, and we'll talk about it, to state their case of why they should be in the college football playoff.
But absolutely, absolutely. I guess we'll kick it off with the Irish because that's the team that's automatically going to make it because the rules came out last year to say, hey, Notre Dame, you're not going to make it this year, so we're going to rig it so you make it for the rest of your of the creation of this playoff. And
well,
that's what they kind of did.
And well, they cried, they took their football, and they went home.
They refused to play a bowl game, their choice. And, I mean, listen, they expected to be in. They expected to get in the playoff. They were in it up till a week before, and then all of a sudden they got passed over. And, you know, listen, they were the defending runner-up from the year prior, so every reason to be upset about not getting in. But they did lose head-to-head to Miami, and that was the team that got in over them. So we're going to find out a lot about the Irish this year. And let me tell you, man, the Irish are back. I mean, again, like we said, title game 2 years ago. Barely controversial last year, declined the bowl bid, like we said. But I believe this is the best team Marcus Freeman has had. Okay, this team has a lot of talent. It all starts at quarterback. CJ Carr is back. Okay, last year they had the training wheels on early. But all reports say that this guy has looked really, really sharp all summer and spring long. Looks like he's going to be ready to take that next step. They also go out and they get two Ohio State wide receivers to join them. Quincy Porter is a 6'4 speedster. They bring in Mylon Graham as well, and they return Jordan Faison. So they already have some good depth at receiver. Tight end solid, right? The O-line is really strong. Athlon says that they're the strongest in the country. They have elite depth. They have elite talent. They have high ceilings. They have everything you need. The big thing on offense for this team is they lose two first-round draft pick running backs. Not easy to replace. Big shoes to fill. Aeneas Williams, no relation, by the way, ready to take over at running back. So they have enough guys, and they have other guys coming in to back him up, but he's going to get the first crack at it. The offense is going to be lights out, Joe. It's going to be really good. The defense might even be better than the offense, though. Lennon Moore is the best cornerback in the country. This is a top three, top five pick at worst next year in the draft, the way everything comes up right now. He's a stud. Tiani Gray, 336-pound defensive tackle that is immovable, okay? Francis Brew comes in to help him out from Pitt. They have two great twitchy ends, and three really, Keon Keeley, Boubacar Traore, Bryce Young. They get pressure. Linebackers, they have Drake Brown and freshman phenom Kingston, Viliamu Asa, supposed to be a beast. We're going to find out. Plus others, I'm just mentioning him because he stands out. Listen, secondary is good. The D-line is good. They're going to get pressure. The linebackers are strong. And the schedule is easy. They don't play anybody. They play a week of brethren of the ACC this year. They do have the big game on October 17th. We talked about it in the last episode at BYU. That's going to be the tough one. There's no Miami on the schedule this year. There's no Michigan. There's no USC.
November 7th, they got Miami.
Oh, I'm sorry. Miami, they have at the end. I'm sorry.
At the end, they have them at home. They have them at home. Trying
they
to
have them at home. My mistake on Miami. They don't have USC is what I meant to say. Because they have their impasse at the usual game.
Yeah.
And the last game of the season, tricky, because they got to go play Syracuse. And Angeli is the quarterback there. Comes in from Notre Dame. So let's see if he's going to be getting things rolling. We don't think Syracuse will be very good, but could have a motivated quarterback there. This team's all but assured a playoff spot, Joe. I can't imagine they don't get in. Again, really two tough games. The other games they should fly through. They open up in Lambeau against Wisconsin, which, like, you know, 5 years ago seemed like a game. And right now you don't know what Wisconsin team you're going to see. But, Joe, yeah. Notre Dame is the real deal. But while we finish up with Notre Dame, I know that you're looking at a conference that used to be a real deal and now is rebuilding it with some pretty good squads, Joe.
Well, it's the Pac-12, and it's not your father's Pac-12. It's not even our Pac-12. That's how crazy it is. So in 2023, when Washington beat Oregon, my bad, that was looked like the end of the 100-year-plus reign of the Pac-12, and they had gone away. For 2 years, Oregon State and Washington State could not find a home for themselves. So they hung out there as the Pac-12. But this year they brought in 8 teams. And it's interesting enough that they're going to be a conference of 8 teams, I should say. They brought in 6 teams and they raided the Mountain West. They took everything they could from the Mountain West that they could. They took Boise State, Fresno State, Utah State, San Diego State, and Colorado State. They brought them all into to make the new Pac-12. They're going to have a good chance of getting one of these group of 6 conference berths. And the 3 teams that have the best shot at it, Boise State. They return a quarterback and running back duo in Maddox Mattson and Dylan Riley. Spencer Danielson, the coach, won 3 titles in 3 years at Boise State in the old Mountain West. They have a great defensive player in Jaden Virgin Morgan on the defense. They have a little bit weak in the receivers, and they're coming in new, so that might lead to Mattson having a tough time. And the secondary has got a few question marks, but Boise State still looks like they might be the class of the Pac-12. San Diego State, they're going to be one of their chief rivals. They have return the running back, and you got to love a guy with the name Lucky Sutton. He'll be back running the ball, and they have Jordan Napier at wide receiver. They have a senior-laden team, and Jaden Denegal is back at quarterback, and they should have him for the whole year. The defense was dominant, and they have a remade offensive line. So San Diego State might struggle a little bit to clear the lane for Sutton, but hopefully they'll be able to put it together and at least compete with Boise State. They're the top 2. Third one, Fresno State. They have a good offensive line. They have a decent running game. They have 3 headed at running back: Bryson Donaldson, Rayshon Luke, and Brandon Ramirez. So they have a good chance with the running game. They need good quarterback play, and that's what they're going to have to work on for Fresno State. But they did have the stingiest pass defense last year, second stingiest in the nation, giving up only 153 yards per game on the pass. They did play well. Of these teams, they have a chance to make statement games early. September 5th, Boise is at Oregon. Boise State has a chance to, you know, Oregon's one of my favorites to go far this year. Boise State's going in there the first week. There's a good chance that they're going to have to, you know, they can showcase themselves against one of the top Big Ten teams. The big games in the conference are that first weekend, Washington State and Washington in the Apple Cup. But then on October 10th, Boise goes to Fresno. October 17th, Fresno goes to San Diego State. And on November 21st, San Diego State goes to Boise. Those 3 games should decide the conference of who's going to play in the championship game. So the Pac-12, off and running. Now, from there, I know you like the American Conference. It has a couple of teams you like.
Well, the American's pretty interesting, right? I mean, listen, when we go through these conferences, and as we get into a couple of the smaller, you know, FBS conferences, they completely get raided. They get these kids, they teach them how to play football, and then they all get paid somewhere else, and they just have to rebuild. But the favorite in this league is Navy, who doesn't have to do that as much because all the guys that are going to the Naval Academy stay at the Naval Academy. It's pretty good. Brian Newberry back after the 11-2 year. Listen, this is a good team. They ran into the buzzsaw of Notre Dame. They escaped the Army, Army-Navy game at the end of the season. Almost made the playoff. They're really good. Big change for this team is quarterback. Braxton Woodson takes over. Bo Horvath was everything for this team last year, and now he's gone. Right? This team rushed for like 3,700 yards last year. They are really good. Time of possession, 33 minutes. They only allowed 9 sacks, but they don't throw the ball. So I don't even know if 9 sacks is good or bad. We'll find out. O-line really good. Returned 4 stars, including a sophomore left tackle. That's an absolute stud. The running backs, I should say, are all new. And the wide receivers on this team are never much of a factor. They don't throw the ball very much. Defense returned 6 starters. Linebacker, the strength with Mark Anthony Parker and Coleman Cawley returning. Defensive backs, Giuseppe Sessi. How often do you see an Italian kid dominating on the field? Him with Philip Hamilton and Nick Bell, they returned. The D-line is small. They can get blown off the ball. They're quick, though, and that's usually how they survive. Navy is going to be a tough team to beat because they control the ball, control the time of possession, and they're already kind of gelled. It's really going to come down to Woodson. If he's able to take over for Horvath, he's not going to be Horvath. Horvath was great, but he's going to be pretty good, and he'll be the difference maker. The team that's really going to give him a lot of competition is the University of Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. Jeff Traylor, the head coach, this team outscored opponents 103-66 in the first quarter last year, and quarterback Owen McCown is back again. Running back Will Henderson also returns. They're solid depth at running back. Wide receiver has depth. Not great. I mean, they lost a couple of big guys, but when you lose receivers to Ohio State and Texas A&M, you know you're doing something right and getting these kids in. But the A.J. Wilson from Houston Christian will be the best of the bunch that comes in. O-line's got to be better, okay? O-line was a little bit sluggish last year. They got to be a little bit better. The defense was really good on third down last year. They got to continue that. They have bulk of defensive tackle, which a lot of teams in this level don't. Got 340-pound Donald Qualte, 325-pound Jamian Buxton. They got solid edges. The back seven was decimated with transfers, but Brandon Tucker must be the guy at linebacker, kind of keep this team going. But UTSA, because they're able to move the ball, because they're explosive offensively, they're gonna have a shot. Another team that's got a shot here is Memphis, right? The Memphis Tigers. And they have a lot of changes, too. Bye-bye, Ryan Silverfeld. He goes over to Arkansas. Welcome back, Charles Huff from Southern Miss. And he brings 12 players with him from Southern Miss. Quarterback is not definite. It appears to be Marcus Stokes, who comes from Western Florida. They also have a guy named Air Noland. Is there a better name for a quarterback? He comes from South Carolina. They're still battling for it. Teams predicted to have 22 new starters, yet it's considered to be one of the best teams in this conference. That tells you how decimated these teams get. Running back Dylan Hayden comes in from Colorado, comes from Prime. Be ready to step in, and Jalen Carter from Southern Miss comes in. Wide receiver Tyshawn Chapman from Southern Miss. It's going to sound like a recurring thing. And Terrell Timmons from Colorado also. Hunter Tippmann's a nice tight end from Middle Tennessee State. Defensively, they added a couple of big-name guys in the middle with Eric Thomas from Cuse. And Jamari Manette from Indiana. They have 2 Southern Miss edges coming in with Jamon Tappy and Jamari Ishmael. Linebacker Mike Montgomery from Southern Miss. He's going to be good. Safety Ian Foster from us, Southern Miss. He's going to stand out. We've got to see if they gel together here at the slightly – it's not really a much bigger level. This should be a level they jump right into. Last team that could be competitive, East Carolina, Blake Harrell's squad. They lose 21 starters, so one guy returns. Unlike what we dealt with in the last day. They outscored opponents 121-40 in the first quarter. So they get off to good starts. They got to keep that going. Red zone, they were 36-60. Opponents were only 17-44. Committed too many penalties, 94. Quarterbacks a battle, right? They got Emory Williams in from Miami or Mitch Griffiths from Texas Tech. Also played at Wake a couple of years ago. We'll see what happens. The top receiver, Brock Spaulding, returns. They also bring in Ray Joseph from Miami. Jeremiah Melvin from Wake also to help out. Running back Ashton Gray from North Texas comes in 6.5 yards a pop. O-line's rebuilding. That always makes you nervous to like a team. Defense only allowed 20 points a game, but they need to get a little bit more consistent pressure. Linebacker DJ Johnson returns. There's a returning guy. Jordan Miles and Cruz Law should help. They're going to get more time. Safety Zaire Gamble comes in from App State. Raymond Mosby from Colorado and Jalen Bowden from Minnesota should help immediately at corner. Listen, when you go through the American – it's tough because a lot of these teams get raided. A lot of coaches, yeah, the coaches all for the most part stayed on, but there's a lot of teams that get raided here, and you just don't know what's going to happen. But it's a kind of an exciting league, a lot of high-scoring games. The Army-Navy game is always one of the best ones, but it's not a league game ever because they play it after the championship. And just to touch on Army real quick, Jeff Monken, Monken gets the new contract. He's at 89-63. Cale Helms is back at quarterback. That's a big deal. Rushing Army rushes the hell out of the ball. They're dominant in the second quarter for some strange reason, 109-57. They just wear you down. They only committed 34 penalties for the whole year. They returned four starters on the O-line. Top receiver Brady Anderson comes back. Running back, the second guy comes back, but his name is God's Power Noahue. So you got to like a guy named God's Power, right? Defense only had 15 sacks last year. They got to get more pressure. Lots returning up in the front seven. The DBs only returned one starter. Fact of the matter is Army can compete with anybody just like Navy can. It seems like it's Navy's league to lose just because of the continuity of this team. It's going to all come down to the quarterback. But the American will be fun like it always is, Joe. But will it be as fun as the Mountain West, Joseph?
Yeah, they're going to be slinging the ball in the new Mountain West. So after losing all the teams to the Pac-12, after Pac-12 raided them and took Boise State, Fresno, Utah, San Diego State, and Colorado State, they brought in three new members to the Mountain West to replace them, North Dakota State, Northern Illinois, and UTEP. Now, one of those three is going to contend for the Mountain West title. But first off, New Mexico. Well, we'll say Northern. Let's go with North Dakota State because North Dakota State is coming in. They won 10 of 15 of the last 15 FCS titles. For those of you who don't know, that's the old Division II, Division I AA. They are right below the Bowl Championship Series or football. But whatever they changed all these names around all these years. But they were in the second level. They were winning titles left and right. They're finally making the leap to the elite level, and they come in pretty good. They've had they've gone 9-5 the last several years playing against FBS schools. So it's not like they're going to walk in and they're going to get run over. They're actually a pretty decent squad. They're going to have a rebuilt offense, but the Bison are looking to come in and make a name for themselves. Will they win the conference the first year? Maybe not. Will they hang tough? I believe they will. They are going to get a test early on. They're going to play September 12th at Air Force. Then they got UNLV on the 10th, and the 24th of October they got at New Mexico. Their problem is all three of their big games are on the road. So they're going to be tested early this first year in the Mountain West. But the two teams that are going to be at the top that are going to be slugging it out all year, UNLV and New Mexico. UNLV's got Dan Mullen at the helm. Three straight title games, three straight losses. Dan Mullen's got to get over the hump. Now, they lost quarterback Anthony Calandria to Nebraska, but they bring in Jackson Arnold, a quarterback who played for both Oklahoma and Auburn, and he was pretty good at both spots but never good enough. So this is a chance for him. We talked about these conferences losing guys in the portal, and they lose a lot. But this is one that they brought in. Sometimes they get the reclamation products, the guys that haven't done well in the first two rounds, so now they're coming in. This is a chance for them to shine. Hopefully they'll be able to get this guy, keep Jackson Arnold, and they'll have a couple of years together. They have Jai Dean Thomas at running back as well. The defense needs a little bit of work, but UNLV's in a pretty good situation. Dan Mullen has them ready to go, and hopefully with Boise and them out of the way, they have a shot to make it to the top. Now, they do play Cal on the 3rd of October, North Dakota State, like I mentioned, on the 10th, and then 11-14 towards the end of the year, a big game at New Mexico. New Mexico right now could be the clubhouse leader for the conference. Expectations are high. They have the co-defensive player of the year who had 129 tackles last year in Jackson Eck at linebacker. And they have a returning their safety, Austin Brawley, for hopefully the whole year. Missed part of the season with a broken foot last year. They brought in Jack Lane at quarterback, and they have wide receiver Keegan Johnson. And they come in. They are looking to get into this championship game this year. They're playing, though, they have a good chance to make a statement game. 9-19, they're going to Oklahoma. Now, the Sooners aren't the Sooners of old, but still they're Oklahoma, and just that name alone. Then they got North Dakota State on the 24th, and then UNLV at the end of November. So New Mexico, UNLV, and North Dakota State, probably the three best teams in the conference battling it out. The second tier does have the Rainbow Warriors of Hawaii. So everybody who competes in this conference, some of them have to make the long trip to Hawaii and back, and that does play a little bit of a role in it. Other than that, Air Force is one of the obviously one of the academies. They'll be middle of the road this year in the Mountain West. And that's about where the Mountain West is. The rest of the conference is not going to contend for a bowl playoff berth at all. But the winner of this conference will be mentioned, at least, as a team that could get in.
That makes sense. Makes sense, Joe.
You know, yeah, you like the Sun Belt, don't you?
Well, the Sun Belt's an interesting conference. And you know why? Because James Madison is there, bro. Right. And, you know, you go with listen, it's hard to argue with Kirsten Yeti and what he did. Now Bob Chesney goes back in there and he wins, right? And they've only been in the belt 4 years. They're 40-11 in the 4 years they've been in the belt. Chesney goes. He goes to UCLA. So now we bring in Billy Napier. Yep, that Billy Napier from Florida didn't quite make it work there. But he's going back to, conference where he should be able to dominate again on a team that should be really good. And they lost a lot of players, let's be honest. A few of them went out to California. A couple went to other places around here. Right now, there's a huge quarterback battle there. It looks like J.C. Evans is going to win that job. They lose their top three running backs, but they bring in a bunch of transfers. So they're bringing Nick Herman from Drake and Seth Kroll from Northern Arizona. And George Petway actually came back. Actually, he was their fourth running back last year. So that's kind of what the key to them is, utilizing Petway and knowing the school. But none of them really know the system because it's new for them, except for, the guys that are going to follow Napier, which weren't many, right? Wide receivers are new. Jeremiah Harrison from East Tennessee State. Kellen Billette from LSU, so they get a big-name guy, and Corey Scott from West Florida. O-line has four new starters, but from everything you read, they're big, they're versatile, they're good. So hopefully the O-line holds up. Defensively, Edgemar Thomas returns, and Ernest Willard comes in from Wisconsin. That should help. Plus, they have Mason Perham from the football juggernaut, Joe, of Emory and Henry. Defensive tackle Michael McMullen returns. Kevin Roberts from Western Florida is going to help him out. Linebacker Gannon Weathersby returns. Lathan Crowley from Holy Cross and Nikiah Jackson from Nevada are going to help him out. The DBs are all new, but Javis Minath from Texas State and DJ Kelly from Toledo should help. Got a big game against Old Dominion on 9/28 on the road. And that's the next team we're going to talk about. A team that could compete with James Madison this year would be the Monarchs of Old Dominion. Ricky Rain comes in. This team outscored their opponents 115-31 in the first quarter last year. They also had 39 sacks against the opponents 20, so not bad. But here's the thing. Last year's team, and again, it's going to be a little different because they lost some players, but they actually rushed for 218 yards against Indiana. Not easy to do against the national champs, right? The next two, the only two other teams rushed for over 100 against Indiana. They were Penn State and Miami, and they combined for 227. So only 9 more yards than Old Dominion did on their own. Just saying, Old Dominion knows how to run the ball, and they do return. They do have 4 new starters on the line, but hopefully the style continues. The offense basically has a new starting 11, though. That's the biggest problem. Quarterback Jackson Potter comes in from Wazoo. He was pretty good last year. We'll see what happens with him. The running back, David Roach, takes over. He's 5'7", 215. He's big, he's strong, and he's quick. O-line, completely new, must gel. I mean, it's actually 5 new starters. I said 4, but one guy kind of came back, but he didn't really start last year. The wide receivers are entirely new as well. Defensively, the one guy that's back, one of the guys that's back is the safety Mario Easterly is back. Cornerback Zion Frank returns along with NC State transfer Javon Bali. Edges have depth. They can get pressure. Defensive tackle Bucky Farmer from App State. He's an absolute beast. Again, they got JMU on 9/26. That's going to be a huge game for this team. So we're going to see who wins that side of it. On the other side of it, Troy's the favorite. Okay, Troy, with Gerard Parker as the head coach, they return 2 quarterbacks, and they play the hot hand. Neither one is great. They were 111th in the nation in completion percentage. They had way too many sacks. This team was all about 310, Joe. They were 8-0 when they had 310 yards of offense and 0-6 when they were under 310. Quarterbacks are Goose Crowder and Tucker Kilcrease, by the way. Kilcrease is more of a dual threat. Goose threw for a few more touchdowns. O-line returns 2 starters, but they have to be a lot better. They gave up so many sacks last year. Running back Jordan Leverett returns, and they had Purdue transfer Jaheim Merriweather, 6'2", 215, so a big kid. You know, a lot going on for Troy. Linebackers led by Luke Hodge and T.J. Thompson, and they had Bryce Steele from Boston College and Keno Jones from that juggernaut known as Barton. So the linebackers should be solid. Solid play at edge. They had the best player on the team is 11 sacks, returning Donnie Smith. And they had Ty Clemens from Boston College and Olga Salvalli from San Diego State, who you just talked about how good a defense they had last year. The defensive backs are transfers, but they're big transfer like Marcus Glory from Tennessee, Jonathan Penix from Southern Miss. Big game for this team's 11-14 against USA. You got to remember there's two different sides to this league. Yeah, the East and the West, so to speak. Troy is expected to get out of the West, James Madison out of the East. We're going to see what happens. But the belt will be competitive. But what happens in a conference like this, Joe, is these teams all get rated so bad. Coaches, coordinators, players, that they have to rebuild and regel from the start. The Mountain West has a little bit of an edge. A few of those guys stay around somewhat. Some people want to go to there. The Pac-12, a little bit like that, too. Even the MAC to an extent. But you go to the Sun Belt, and when I talk about Conference USA next, a little different. They get gutted pretty good. But since we're talking about it, Joe, and since we want to look at who the next team is, let's talk about the MAC. Because the MAC has teams that are pretty good.
Interesting. The MAC does have teams that are pretty good. And the MAC now is one of those coast-to-coast conferences. So they lost Northern Illinois to the Mountain West, but they brought in Sacramento State. And they paid them $23 million to join them. Even better, Sacramento State got turned down by the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, and that's how they ended up in the Mid-American. So the Mid-American is literally middle American schools with UMass at the bottom and Sacramento State as well. But the three teams in the MAC that are making name for themselves, Western Michigan, Miami of Ohio, and Toledo. And you know, those three schools are Western Michigan. They return a quarterback in Brock Lowry that was the offensive player of the year last year. They return a running back in Jalen Buckley with over 1,000 yards. Their offensive line is solid. They're loaded in the backfield in the secondary. They have to gel a little bit on the defensive line and with new linebackers because of the transfer portal. They are losing guys. So Western Michigan, though, They do have the best chance to win the conference and be that conference's rep when they start looking at the conference of six berth that comes up.
Yep.
So Western Michigan, though,
they also are the only team that plays Tuesday night. Just in case you don't get to fill the other six nights a week, you get college football on Tuesday, especially as it goes on.
Yeah. Well, one of their key things is so that they get viewed. People watch some of their games. But now they also – Western Michigan starts off, they're at Michigan. What a way to make a statement early in the season for the MAC. And then Western Michigan does have a tough schedule. They host Boise State, which could be a trap game for Boise State. But also we talked about the fact that sometimes these secondary conferences, their teams are playing each other. It's almost like you don't want to call it a pre-playoff game, but it's kind of like a preview because these two conferences may only get one bid, and this Boise State-Michigan, Western Michigan game could actually be the deciding factor if they both win their conference. So some of these games are important. Then they do go to Toledo in the end of October, and they finish up by hosting Miami of Ohio. So Western Michigan – they have a good chance. They have a lot of stuff in their hands and in their control this season. Miami of Ohio, 6 straight bowls, 2 straight conference championship games. They have holes, though, this year at quarterback and running back. They brought in a lot of recruits, probably their best group of recruits they have in years. Their defensive line is experienced, but they lack a lot of talent. They might have experience, but they might not have the talent to compete. Their big game is early on. They're going to Pitt the first week of the year. So it's interesting. A lot of these smaller conferences get that first or second week. They get their shot at the big dogs, and it's a chance for them to put their name and their stamp on stuff. And it's an opportunity that they have to You know, they don't get them too often. Most of them are on the road. Those big schools don't like to take a chance and go into one of these small towns, but it gives these kids a shot. And then the third team is Toledo. They lost coach Jason Candle, who went to UConn, and they went to 8 bowls in 10 years, Toledo. But they have first-year coach Mike Jacobs from Mercer, and he brought with him Andrew Zock, a junior defensive end, 11.5 sacks, 20 tackles for loss. Came with him from Mercer. He's an NFL-ready player. He should be ready. They've also brought in talent and depth at through the transfer portal. They've been picking up people that way. Their offensive line has been very good. Again, you talked about returning starters. They only had one in Toledo. They have 50 new players that came in this year. So chemistry is a huge factor. You talk about starting from scratch and starting over. Every single year in some of these conferences, these teams have to start over. It's kind of like you're getting freshmen every single year and integrating them from 1 to 50 in the rotation. They have a shot in the first weekend of the year. They're going to Michigan State. Then they have San Diego State at the end of on the 26th of September, and then they host Western Michigan on the 24th of October. Interestingly enough, they have San Diego State at home. Western Michigan has Boise State at home. So a good chance for the MAC to make some points against the Mountain West. The Pac-12 now. So that should be good. With these smaller conferences, though, it's crazy. These games are get out of hand, and they get out of hand quick. And, but it gives them opportunities. And you're looking at the last one we're going to look at is Conference USA.
Conference USA. You know, listen, Liberty is the favorite, okay? The Flames are the favorite again. 3 seasons ago, this team's 13-0, fighting to get into the playoff. Remember the whole thing with them?
Yep.
Last year, they were 4-8. But they should be the cream of the crop. I don't think anybody remembers that they were 4-8 last year. Everybody thinks of Liberty as becoming the power in this league, and they should return. This team allowed 107 points in the fourth quarter last year. Big reason why they lost some games. Key to this team, the O-line returns 4 starters, right? And the 5th starter is a Penn State transfer, which is huge to get at Liberty. So it should be something that really works out for them. The running backs are really good. They're all transfers, but you get Kanye Udo from Arizona State, Cam Davis from Florida State, Peyton Jones from Duke. They're bringing in big school players to come here and play at Liberty. All right, quarterback Ethan Vasco, he's got to be more accurate. There's actually a competition. He's supposed to win it, but they have a young kid in there that they're expecting that can compete with him. Wide receiver Jamari Pearson returns. He should get help from Makai Jackson, who comes in from Indiana, another big school guy coming over. So they should have enough on offense to at least move the ball. If Vasco's line is better, he should be more accurate. Defense is a ton of transfers. You get a guy like cornerback Ashton McShane from BC. He's going to help immediately, though. Another big school guy coming over. Safety Ashton Whitner, from Ball State comes in. And another fun name, like you had one before, the Icy Hawkins from Ja Tech. He should be solid at cornerback. Edge Brelton Williams comes in from Auburn. He'll be a good one. He only had 3 sacks last year, but you figure he'll build on that. Aaron Hester's going to help. He comes back. And also linebacker Daryl Farrar will lead the group. Okay, so Liberty has players coming back. They brought in some big market guys. You know, we're going to find out what Jamie Chadwell does with this team and try to turn this around, because this was the perennial power for about 5 or 6 years, and they've kind of fallen on hard times. Who's competitive with them? The Gamecocks. Not those Gamecocks. Jacksonville State Gamecocks, Charles Kelly and his team. Running back Christian Lando's got to replace Cam Cook. Cam Cook is great, but now he's running for West Virginia. So they have to find somebody else to come in, and here comes Christian Lando. Quarterback, Caleb Creel is back and ready to sling it. He's a dual threat. He had a solid year last year. O-line is solid. They got a good mix of veterans, some nice depth, a couple of transfers. They should be real solid. At wide receiver, they got a kid named DeAndre Johnson, who's 6'8", 220, and averages 24 yards per catch. He's a matchup nightmare against anybody. 6'8", throw it high. They bring in Rennell Johnson from Missouri State to help on the other side. On defense, this team returns their top 3 tacklers, Joe. So they're going to be, they're going to be competitive in that respect. Walker Osteen, Caleb Nixon, and Max Sanders are all back at linebackers, so they're solid in the middle. They got good size on the D line. I'm sorry, bad size on the D line. They have a bunch of 265, 270 pound guys at defensive tackle. They get pushed around a little bit, have trouble stopping the run. So they're gonna have to use their speed to make it work. It's almost like watching it was the Texas State championship movie We'll use our speed, the Permian thing. Permian, when they lost to Dallas Carter. You got to use their speed because I don't have to have an Ivory Christian guy on them. They got to just be better. DBs, they had Rip Billing from Clemson, Vernon Woodward from Illinois, and Caden Cook from California. So they bring in some guys. The other team to watch is the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky. Tyson Hecton back, outscored opponents 100-41 in the fourth quarter, so they did close games out well. Too many turnovers, though, for this team. Quarterback Rodney Tisdale takes over. He's a sophomore. He's supposed to have some really good talent, replaces the senior that left that had a good season. He's got really good wide receivers. KD Hutchinson's back, 66 receptions last year. Zion Taylor comes in from Georgia Tech. Josiah Rockwell comes in from that Mecca Prairie View, but they're all expected to be good. Running back A.J. Allen from Tulane and Caleb Hicks from from Tulsa, I should say, and Caleb Hicks from Oklahoma State come in to take over there. They raided the Sooner State. They get a couple of good running backs. The O-line's rebuilding. It's always the scariest thing that you can ever hear about an O-line. Now you got to sit there and hope that they gel. The defense has been bend and broke, don't break. They average giving up over 400 yards a game and only gave up about 22 points a game. So, again, a lot of new players, so you don't know if they're going to be at the same caliber. But this is the team that has 5 300-pound guys that they rotate in the defensive tackle position. They lose their top three linebackers. Edge, Vincent Snead and Elon Jones, they return. Defensive back Jalen Lewis-Clark returns. Got a couple of starters back, but listen, Western Kentucky can be very competitive. Creel's a veteran quarterback. They have running backs that can play. They have a 6'8 weapon that if they just throw it up, he should be able to win some jump balls. If they can get the O-line to gel, this is a team that could be competing as well. But again, the Sun Belt now? Conference USA, I'm sorry. It's rated like no other conference. Between this and the Sun Belt, the two of them just get rated like they left the front door open and everybody just comes in and robs them. Every time they do anything right, they have to start all over again, Joe.
I think talking about the six conferences we talked tonight, throughout Notre Dame, because Notre Dame is not part of this group, but the six conferences we talked about tonight, that's their biggest worry, is that they're in a constant rebuild mode because they're building these kids up. Kids are getting opportunities here. And now with the NIL, somebody is seeing a quarterback who plays well for a Sun Belt school or for an American school. And they basically, it's like drafting them to the pros and they bring them up to the SEC and the Big Ten. And they come in, they swoop in with the money and they take these guys out. Now they did the whole thing with Cignetti and JMU. And now UCLA is doing the same thing with Chesney, where they go in, they not only take the coach brings half his team with them.
It's a lot. It's really a lot.
And so it's decimating these smaller schools. How they'll ever fix it, who the heck knows, because the money is out of control at this point.
And so this Joe, is what conference are you looking forward to? I mean, out of the ones you covered today.
I would say the Pac-12. I would say the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12 is going to be good. I mean, could it be like Mountain West redo? Yeah. But I think, you know what? Those schools could bring the Pac-12 back into prominence where it's talked about again. Now, do I think the Pac-12 and, do I think two of these? I mean, the question is with a 12-team playoff, right? And I know we're going to talk about this more on the next episode of predictions, but you say the Power Four have four spots automatically. Yep. Most likely Notre Dame is getting a fifth spot.
Yep.
Well, that leaves seven spots. We just talked about six conferences. We could probably have at least 6 to 8 names of teams that should be considered, and they might only get one berth.
Yeah.
The chance
and
of them
getting – might only – they will only get one
they berth. They will only get one.
Because the SEC is going to get three or four, and so will the Big Ten.
The Big 12.
The Big 12 will fight. The ACC will fight.
When you think about it, there's going to be six spots up for grabs – between the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC. So they're all not going to get two. And if somebody gets three, that means one of those four is getting zero. So it is going to be it really does. I mean, this 12-team playoff is nice. The 12 might not be the right number. But I think, like we alluded to, the scheduling of these lower conferences or these lower-level conferences – to schedule the big teams early, try to get on their schedules, to try to get those wins or at least close games that they can use as a measuring stick to say to the committee, you know what, we can hang, you know, you could get us into these games. We might be able to surprise people.
No, I mean, even the small schools, like I mentioned both the Sun Belt and the Conference USA. The favorite in the Sun Belt is James Madison. The favorite at Conference USA is Liberty. They're playing each other on September 5th. So they're basically doing a lose-or-leave town match week one of the season with – I know they're not playing Michigan. I know they're not playing Auburn in this game. But they're playing someone that they're directly competing with for a shot at that one spot. And they could get an edge on it if none of the other teams really get that big win somewhere else. It's actually a game that no one will talk about outside of us and a few others. That's going to be a huge game for both of these schools if they play to the level we expect, Joe.
Well, you know, it kind of reminds me of like the early 2000s when Auburn and when Alabama would play Georgia early in the season, and you knew you were the one lost team. There was a chance you were done for the year in college football. So exactly, this game could mean, and it's not only for these two teams, it's for their conferences. Because if anything, if James Madison, if JMU beats Liberty, the conference gets a check mark on it that they're better than the other conference based on those two teams. So even if Liberty and James Madison don't win the conference, that might be the only game that the committee would have to judge it on. And they would say, well, they blew them out. So, you know, we got to assume that that conference is better than the other one. So these games between these small level schools, you know, Boise State playing Western Michigan.
Yep.
Those are important games because those two teams are at the top of the heap. And that might be the only way to judge them at the end. You know,
go ahead.
No, basing it off of last year. Miami and Notre Dame, it came down to that one game, decided who was in and who was out.
The other thing about these schools, and as much as, you know, it's the season hasn't even started yet, you get to watch some of these games, and you're watching guys, and the best players on these teams will be playing Power Four next year, or they'll be playing on Sundays, right? Yep. So you're going to get to see guys that'll be either on your pro team or maybe on your college team when you're watching. You're also looking at coaches and coordinators that have an opportunity to move up. So when you see good teams in these leagues, pay attention because these are the guys that might be playing on your team next year. There's a lot of talent. And, you know, those unfortunately, these conferences don't have enough money to pay to compete like some of the others. Listen, I'm hoping the Pac-12 is really good. I actually think that the best chance for the Pac-12 is to merge with the Mountain West down the line. I know it sucks to say it because I don't like these big conferences. But the fact is that they need to have a power West Coast conference. They need to have something where everybody is excited about being out West, where there is those – I don't know. There's just something that's awry with it when you're sitting there watching UCLA and USC play the Big Ten and Cal and Stanford play the ACC. You want to see big schools and – you know, Boise State has been a competitive big school. San Diego State has been good over the course of years. Wazoo and Oregon State can play at these levels. So there is an opportunity to get these schools up and running and moving.
No, I agree with you. I think in a perfect scenario, if the Pac-12 got to back to Power 5 status, you could see where USC and UCLA, Cal and Stanford, and even Washington and Oregon move back there. And create that West Coast power again. But you see, it'll be interesting to see if that eventually causes that. You know, there's definitely got to be, we've talked about it almost every week that we've talked so far, is about the fact that they have to do something. The NCAA has to do something to even this out because the money is going to get ridiculously more and more separating between these schools. And the Pac-12, now the Pac-12 is still keeping some of their deals. They're still going to be able to send teams to the Holiday Bowl this year. So they kept some of their rivalries or their bowl tie-ins that they had in the past, which is good for them. So at least they have that.
Well, let's be honest, Joe. I mean, USC could be competitive this year in the Big Ten. UCLA might grow into something, right? But the thing is, neither one of these schools have done it yet, right? No. Cal and Stanford are not considered competitive in the ACC. So you get these West Coast teams, and I mean, Oregon's been competitive. They've been the one, right? But that's it. Washington's an also-ran in the Big Ten right now. I mean, all these teams can improve and get better and all that stuff. But for the most part, these schools have not done great with their moves into these conferences. Yeah. The Arizonas have been okay in the Big 12, but it hasn't been the same feeling. You know, you want to have regional rivalries. You want to have teams that don't like each other. You want the team. You want the best rivalries to be played. You need that. It's the only way the sport works. USC and Notre Dame rekindling in 2030, 2031 is great. Problem is they're playing week one. Used to be the last game of the season if it was in California, or it was in October if it was in South Bend. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like there's regional pride and we should have it.
No, and you know, it's interesting is they got, you know, when they were the Pac-12, when we were younger, the problem was there was the West Coast bias because those guys were on late in the afternoon or late at night, and nobody ever saw their games. But now that we've gotten to the streaming section where every game is on and every channel now is broadcasting games, including between NBC, Peacock, Fox, CBS, Paramount Plus, CBS Sports Network, Fox 1, Fox 2. They got ABC, ESPN, ESPN 2, 3, 4. They have all these games.
NBC Sports Network, TNT Sports.
TNT, CW is even putting games on. Absolutely. So almost every conference has somewhere where they are that these games will be seen, even to the point where when we were younger, nobody would have thought that Fox would have a Friday night college football game every week during the college season. Yet they're going to have it. Now they're having, what is it? They have the game at night. They have they're going to do Pac-12 at night where they have games at 10 or 11 o'clock at night on Friday or Saturday nights. So we've gotten to this point now where actually if they would have stayed together and they had the foresight, they would have realized that they had it all because these conferences would be getting the TV exposure that they would. That's why they only went to those schools for money and exposure because everybody knew Big Ten played 12 noon every Saturday on either Fox or before that ABC or ESPN. So that was always the 12 noon game was the Big Ten game. So they went there looking for all of that. But it also doesn't make sense for USC to host a game at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No, it does not. And really what you're saying is so true because Amazon Prime and all of these pay services are all looking for live content. That's all they want. I mean, listen, you want to watch the NFL season schedule? I know we're talking college right now. Yeah. I mean, it costs you like $3,000 to have all the different services or whatever to cover everything. In college, it's not really that bad. But, I mean, you do need Prime and you do need, a couple of them. You know, probably Hulu would pick stuff up. Oh, they would all pick stuff up. The fact is, though, that listen, we're in the Northeast, right, which means that there is no college football pride. Either you're a Big Ten fan or an SEC fan or you root for a team from every conference and just try to follow them. We don't have that here. But the people in that Midwest that have so many options and so many things sit there and watch their rivalries get torn apart. Like, I mean, it's not big, right? But Minnesota and Michigan don't play every year for that little brown jug. Used to play every year. They don't do it anymore. I mean, you know, there are certain rivalries that just don't happen anymore. And I know that's a silly one, but it's just one that stands out. But there are a lot of them. There are times where, Duke and NC State won't play. And they're in the same state, I mean, you get to stick with the one rivalry. In fact, USC and Notre Dame, like we talked about, there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of, they're hurting a lot of the pageantry that makes the sport special with everything that they're doing. Simple fact is, though, that what it is what it is, and that's what we're here to cover, Joe.
Yep. No, we have to. We can only cover what they give us to cover.
Absolutely. And that's it. Is there one team that when you were doing your research that stood out to you that you're like, wow, I can't wait to watch this team play?
I think Western Michigan, and I have to admit, I have not followed them much because they, Tuesday nights sometimes, you don't expect the games on Tuesday nights. But after, following up with them, reading about them, I'm interested to see these guys play.
Joe's going to be flying out to Kalamazoo.
That'll be next. That'll be next. The home of Derek Jeter.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely
who
it is.
Who did you look at that you think?
You know what? I'm really kind of intrigued by two teams. Jacksonville State, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I just think that they're going to be a fun team to watch, and they've got some pretty good talent. And I'm really excited to watch both Army and Navy this year. I really think that these two teams could, with all the transfers that have happened in the American, I think these two teams could rise to the top. Navy's the favorite. Army is not. But I think Army could be a little bit better than people think because the quarterback is back. And I think Navy's real good. I mean, I think that Navy's one of those teams that they had a shot at the playoff last year. They got blown out by Notre Dame late. If they could, if they could find a way to make those games a little closer, they might have a shot of getting in.
No, you know what? It'll be interesting. These might be better games to watch sometimes than the weekly Big Ten games because there's less of a chance of a real blowout in some of these games. That's how evenly matched a lot of these teams are. So I think it's going to be good to see. We have an episode, the next episode coming. We're going to talk about our predictions for the season as we get closer and closer to the start of the football season on August 29th with the TCU North Carolina game. So our next episode, we're going to make some predictions. I think we're going to get as deep as getting into the playoff of who we think is going to get in and who we think might be on the outside looking in and putting that together.
And an early little Heisman look of guys that we want you to watch for the Heisman.
Maybe even a dark horse or two that might appear.
Absolutely. For both the playoff and for
the Heisman.
Absolutely. Anything else you want to add before we wrap this shindig up, Joe?
Nope. I think we're good.
Five in the books. You're listening to Bowl Games and Brackets here with Darren and Joe. Listen, we're starting out a new podcast. It's really only dedicated to college sports, both football and basketball. We're both very passionate about it. We want to express that passion to you. Talked tonight about Notre Dame and a bunch of conferences most people don't think about much. But the simple fact is that there's some really good football being played at these conferences, and if some of them are on that early stage where they could be climbing up. A team like North Dakota State, like Joe said, could go FCS to FBS and really be a factor. The Pac-12 being resurgent is really exciting. The American, where the service academy teams expected to be good, real exciting stuff. So we encourage you to listen. We encourage you to ask questions. We encourage you to follow us on social media and to be part of our little revolution of bringing the fun back to college sports, which they're trying to take away, but we're trying to bring back. So, again, Bowl Games and Brackets, may your brackets be sharp, and may you keep your bowl dreams alive.